All right. Well, I'm very nervous. My legs are shaking really good. So, at first I was going to preach about this dog in the back of a van, but I decided not to. So, we're going to be in 1 Samuel, chapter 17. Then said David the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord and the host of the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." 46. "This day will the Lord deliver thee unto mine hands, and I will smite thee and take thy head with thy from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine to this day unto the fowls of the air, and unto the wind of the beast and the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, Lord, and thank you for giving me this privilege to speak, Lord, and thank you for giving this message into my heart, Lord, as last second, Lord. In Jesus' name I do pray, amen. And this topic I'm going to be talking about is living by faith and looking at those in the army of Israel and the Philistines. And the Israelites believed in God but had no faith in defeating Goliath. And the Philistines didn't believe in any God, or believed in a God, but it wasn't the true God. And we find ourselves in the same situation today as my example is, who is your Goliath? And is it like work, a struggle, or your boss, or your coworker, or is it temptation? For us teenagers, it's really big for us as temptations, as simple things, doing drugs, or drinking, or partying, stuff like that. And looking at these things, or looking at things that we shouldn't look at, also, that's really big, as we have phones today that we could look up basically anything in our hands. And also, music is really big for us also, and I struggle with that a little bit also. And also with bad friends, and I struggled with this for about 3 years ago, and I hung out with the wrong crowd. I never did anything bad, but I just hung out with the wrong people. And also with Goliath, they attack us in each and every day, deep down where they make us miserable and unhappy. Amen. And God will send trials in our lives, as He's without having faith, or never gonna overcome these trials. And God uses the sheep herder, to destroy Goliath. And just imagine what He could do with us. Amen. And He can also use each and every one of us. And David did not need armor or any sword. All he needed was faith in God and the one true God. Amen. And just imagine what he can overcome, and if he had faith like Daniel, or yeah, David, sorry, Daniel. Sorry about that. Have faith like David and God. And God bless Daniel, or man, I keep saying Daniel. David, with faith he had in him. God loves each and every one of us as much as He loved David. Right. Having faith in God is what it takes, and it takes us a long ways. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, Lord, and thank you for everything you've done in my life, Lord. Thank you for this message you give me, Lord, as I messed up a couple of times, Lord. But thank you for this opportunity, Lord. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Amen.
Fun is being here. We've been here 3 years now, my wife and I, and seeing these young men progress. So first time I gave Bible Club lesson, it lasted about 25 seconds. And the second time was about a minute. And so every time he adds a little bit of length to it. So by the time he's 50, I mean, you would not want to be in his church, because who knows how long that sermon might be. Our next young man is a junior. His name is Joshua Crawford. His parents are Brother Eric and Miss Tanya. I don't know if y'all know who they are. This is them right here in the front row. But if y'all don't know there, but this is our pastor's son. Come on down, Joshua.
Okay. Victor's parents got to stand up, so my parents have to stand up too. These are my parents. All right, well, if you would turn with me to Genesis 41. Oh, yeah, school's made this section of Genesis fun. All right, Genesis 41, verse 16 says, "And Joseph answers Pharaoh, saying, 'It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace.' And also in 38 and 39 it says, "And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art." My message today is over don't lose your sight of God. No matter what we face, if we don't lose our sight of God, he will bless us. Joseph went through many trials. We know that he went and he had his brothers. His father favored him above all of his other brothers, and so they got jealous and they threw him into a pit, and then he was sold as a slave to Potiphar. And then after that, he went and he was sold to Potiphar, and God blessed him. He became over Potiphar's entire house. He became over everything that Potiphar owned, basically. And then something happened, and Potiphar's wife wanted Joseph. And so Joseph refused and was wrongfully accused and thrown into prison. But even in prison, God still blessed him. He became over basically all the prisoners. And then after that, while in prison, the butler and baker had a dream, and Joseph interpreted the dreams. And the baker died, but the butler was going to live. And Joseph asked the butler to remember him whenever he goes back to Sir Potiphar. But as we all know, the butler forgot him for 2 years. And so Joseph is still sitting in prison, but he did not lose his sight in God. Amen. We see in the palace, Pharaoh has a dream this time, and Pharaoh can't find anybody that can interpret it. And the butler's like, "Oh yeah, by the way, there's this guy in prison that I was supposed to remember. And he interpreted mine and the baker's dream, and it became true. So why don't you see if that guy can do it?" And so Pharaoh brought him, and Joseph ended up interpreting the dream, which was the famine for 7 years and the blessing for 7 years, the plenteous. And Joseph, once again, was blessed by God, and was promoted to second command over all of Egypt, which was basically the world power at that time. And then we see the prosperity of not losing our sight in God. Joseph didn't lose his sight in God, and because of that, Joseph's father and family came, and they got to live in Egypt. They came to Egypt a couple of times to buy food because they were running out of food back home. And after they found out that Joseph was still alive and everything, they came and they lived in Egypt and were blessed and had plenty of stuff. And so just because Joseph didn't lose his sight in God, others were blessed. So we all face hard times, like in the pit. Joseph was thrown in there by his brothers, sold into slavery. We all face temptation, which would be Potiphar's wife. Joseph, of course, fled and did not stay in the room. And we all at times feel forgotten, like in the prison, whenever the butler forgot him for 2 entire years. And God always comes through for his children, like in the palace, whenever he became second command over a huge nation. Our actions affect others. Just because we do something doesn't mean it's just going to affect us. Even if it might not even affect us. It might affect someone else down the road. It might affect a family member, a friend. It might even affect someone that we don't even know. But because of our actions, somebody could go either to hell or somebody could go to heaven. And just depending on what our actions are, will determine whether or not somebody else is blessed or whether or not we basically curse somebody else. I mean, we need to do right and try and bless other people. And so, let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for allowing me to come up here and preach, Lord. I thank you for giving me this sermon. I pray that hearts are touched, Lord, and that just that you would bless. And I pray that I could be a blessing to other people. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're doing pretty good on time here, so I'm going to interject something and throw a couple teenagers off. This will be kind of fun. So one of the things that we have in our church that some of y'all may not even be aware of is that we have Bible clubs in public schools around the area. And that's something we started in the last few years, and we've had Bible clubs. The first one we started was at Central High School in Keller, and then we started a Bible club at Northwest High School, and then we started a Bible club at Steele Accelerated High School in Roanoke, and we started a club at Boyd High School. The one at Central dissolved away just by nature of kids getting older and graduating, but that Bible club actually sounds like it may be getting started again. A young lady contacted us about getting that Bible club started again at Central. So, but then I have kind of special treats. So I'm going to have a couple kids in our church who are in those Bible clubs give a testimony. It kind of gets you all familiar with what's going on there. But actually, Benji, if you come at this time, Benji's actually not a young man from our church. He'd never been here before. But Benji's a faithful young man in our Bible club at Steele Accelerated High School. And Benji's actually from Spain. And he started coming to our Bible club the second week of school this year. And he has been just a breath of fresh air for me. And so I asked him to come tonight and give a testimony. Also take a moment to tell a little bit about our Bible club at Steele.
Hello. My name is Benjamin Bile. I moved here from Spain a little over a year ago. Ever since I moved, I started to go to Steele a second semester last year. And the first thing when my parents decided that we were moving here to the U.S., I was the first one to say, yes, let's move. I'd like to learn the culture of my father, since my father here is from the U.S. and my mother's from Spain, where I've lived all my life. What I didn't realize was the shock that would be changing absolutely everything in your life. That was kind of a shock. Moving here, no friends, no family, not a clue of what I'm doing. New school, new language, which thankfully my parents had taught me, so I kind of could deal with that. But yes, it was hard. I started going in October when we moved here to Byron Nelson. I think most of you know it. It's that very big high school, over 2,000 students. But I wasn't too comfortable there because after almost a semester, I basically knew no one. I had no idea, and I still had no idea. So we decided to go to Steele. There, in a smaller environment, I was still nervous and unsure of what I was doing. And after a semester there, I got used to it, and I decided to join the Bible Club this year. Bible Club has helped me see a lot of stuff, that things that you just pass over and just read them, and it's like, yeah, Daniel in the lion's den, the fiery furnace. But there are many details in this that you don't realize until you go with other people and you see their vision, and you realize that there's not just your closed view in one subject, but there's more to it. One of the thing that this year that I've been here has taught me is that even if you lose everything in life, even if you're in a place you know nothing about, there's one thing that you can always count on, and that is God. As it says in Jeremiah 17:7, my life verse, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. Amen. Thank you very much for your time.
I almost think we should just give Benji 5 minutes and preach to us. Don't you think that would have been good? That would have been great. He's an encourager. I'm telling you, our Bible clubs are great. Laura Lynn's getting testimony in just a second. She goes to our Bible club in Northwest High School. But the Bible clubs are neat. Grab a seat real quick, Laura Lynn. Let me just talk for just a second, tell you about our Bible club. So we meet before school or during the school day. So in two of our Bible clubs, one of them meets at 8 o'clock in the morning at Northwest High School on Thursday mornings. And that's a great Bible club. One of the neat things, that Bible club has grown because kids, their home room is that room, and they were in there playing board games. And so we just said to them, hey, instead of doing board games, why don't you come to our Bible club? I'm almost joking around because we were telling them you can't be in our room. And they started coming. The kids have come every week to Bible club, a neat thing. Bible club that meets at Boyd is on Monday, and it's actually during tutorials. So it's during the school day when they have a break. They can either go and hang out with friends and work on schoolwork or come to Bible club. And so that's a neat Bible club. And then the one at Steele actually meets during lunch. And so we are right in the middle of everybody at Steele. It's a really neat thing. And so Laura Lynn has been coming to our church the last couple of years, but actually joined our church this summer. So I'll let her give a testimony this time.
So I came to this church with my grandma on visiting, but I never actually came and faithfully joined it. until the summer before camp. Brother Jesse asked me if I wanted to go to camp, and I said yes because I wanted to go to Colorado, and I didn't know that it would change my life so much. At camp, I got saved and accepted Jesus and got baptized when I came back. And going to camp was a good start off because I made friends there. And then when coming back, I had friends that I knew in the church, so I wasn't alone sitting in the youth section. Going to the church, they were very welcoming. Everybody welcomed me into the church. There was no, like, nobody that kind of neglected me sitting there. Being in the Bible club has helped me through the week, being able to have somewhere to go in the middle of the week instead of just being Monday, Wednesday, or Sunday and Wednesday, having somewhere to go and just be right before school and be able to start the day off in Jesus has always been very helpful to me. And also being able to invite friends that don't want to go to church or people that just are there in the morning and wouldn't have the ability to come to church, they are able to go there in the mornings before school and be able to learn God through there. So it's always been a blessing in my life.
Hey, Reagan. Come on down, Reagan. We'll just put people on the spot. I kind of like doing this. This is enjoyable. Reagan is one of our newer members. They've joined just recently, but they've been coming for a long time. And Reagan's been our Bible Club Northwest, so get a testimony of God's work in your life, Reagan.
Well, about 5 years ago, I took a trip to Louisiana to see my grandparents, and we had a couple bonfires there, and I decided to play with it, and I got burned on my hand really bad, and it really hurt. And so we went to church that night, and the preacher gave a sermon on hell and how some people are going there today because they haven't accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. And it really got to me, and I went home, and I talked to my dad, and I told him that I got burned on my hand, and I heard the preacher talking tonight, and I don't want to go to hell. And my dad said he showed me in the Bible where I could get Jesus Christ, accept Jesus Christ in my heart, and know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven in the morning, and I can go to sleep tonight and know for sure. And during Bible Club, when I went to Northwest, I tried to bring some of my friends, and they just said no, but I just kept going, and I only got to go about 3 times because it was in the year when I figured, later in the year when I figured out about it. And my friend Ryan got to come, and he's already saved, and it just gave me some knowledge, more knowledge about the Bible, and kept me going through the week, like Laura Lynn said, instead of coming just Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Saturday. And yeah, but now I go to the Christian school, which is really a blessing, considering there's a lot of drugs and everything at Northwest, and I'm just thankful for that. Yeah.
We're going to do one more song, and we're going to adjust the schedule. But let's do Be Strong in the Lord. And in just a second, we're going to have Noah come preach for us, and then Tyler, come up. You can grab a seat if you want to, Tyler. I joke sometimes, I think I'm like a teen babysitter, not the youth director. Sometimes I feel that way. And I'm reminded as the teenagers are walking over here that they were supposed to be over here about 3 minutes ago during Be Strong in the Lord, but I'm glad that they remembered. And so also the microphones, wonderful. We'll give them just a second to get all set up. And, you know, in every youth department, there's lots and lots of good kids. We have lots of good kids in our youth department. But there's always 2 or 3 kids, 4 or 5 kids that just kind of make you smile when you know. And the reason why is because everything you say, they're nodding their head and agreeing with you. I mean, it's just a sweet kid, you know. And Noah's one of those kids. And funny, B played the offertory because B's one of those kids in our youth department. There's many of them, but they're 2 of those kids that just make you smile because you tell them they're being absolutely horrible and they need to stop doing. They're like, yes, sir. Yeah, I like that, you know. And you tell them they're being wonderful and like, yes, sir. It's just they're good kids. And so before Noah comes to preach, and we'll have Brother Troy, Miss Andrew, if you all want to stand up so everyone knows who they are. This is Noah's parents. And just before they come, we have an ensemble. They're going to do the Lily of the Valley.
Amen. As y'all know me, I'm Noah. Would you turn me with your Bibles to Revelation 3:14? Revelation 3:14. You gotta bear with me. I'm a little nervous up here, so yeah, bear with me. So we'll begin reading in verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the saith, amen. Faithful and true witness, being, let me start over. These things saith, amen. The faithful and true witness, the beginning, the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with the eye salve, and thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he will with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in the throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in the throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's pray. Dear Lord, just be with me as I bring this message, Lord. Just give me the words to say, Lord, and help the hearts be open in the crowd, Lord. Just bless the service, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. First, I want to just say this, that God is all-knowing or omniscient. He says in verse number 14 that I am the faithful and true witness. So he, no matter what you say, he already knows what you've done and he knows what you will do. So I want you to look in verse number 15. I know thy works, and thou art neither cold nor hot. See, you can't get away with sin in your life. God knows it. God always knows it. You cannot get away with it. See, well, I'm not. You see, me, I might say I'm not lukewarm. I can't be lukewarm. I mean, that's stupid. I can't. Because thou sayest, because the crowd sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. So what we do is we say, we're all good. I'm all good. But God says in verse number 17, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, blind and naked. The title of my message tonight is Deaf, Blind, and Lukewarm. And why are you lukewarm? May I show you something? If you turn to Proverbs 18, verse 1. Proverbs 18, verse 1. In verse number 1. Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. See, the problem is that people do not have a desire. They don't have a desire to be like Christ, to read their Bible, to pray and have a devotional. They don't have that desire. But you may say, well, maybe if I do that, and maybe if you're honest, if I do that, how can I keep from sin? Or how can I keep from this lukewarm? All you have to do is just separate how it says in verse number 1. Through a desire, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. So you have to separate yourself and have to seek that wisdom in the Bible. God's not just going to tell you in a dream like he did Joseph, or how he spoke to all the prophets. You have to actually go in the Bible and find it. And you know why you say that, oh, I'm all good? It's because you deceived yourself. Turn with me to James 1, James chapter 1, and I'll begin reading in verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Amen. You see, tonight the problem is you've deceived yourself. The person next to you could be lukewarm. May I go a little bit further? You may be lukewarm. Now, let me go even further than that. I'm lukewarm. You see, maybe 90% of us are lukewarm in here. And we may not even know it because we've deceived our own selves. But would you look in with me in verse number 23? For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. You see, we all look at us in a different mirror. But God only holds the true mirror, which is the word of God. The word of God shows us who we really are. And when we look into that mirror, we realize that we are blind, deaf, and lukewarm. See, you can't rely on others to do the job for you, be a witness, to go out there. You have to do it yourself, because through desire, it has to be through desire. And I want to end with this. Would you turn back over to Revelation 3:14 or 3? In Revelation 3, verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. All you have to do is repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him, and he with me. God is knocking on your door. Are you listening? Are you opening the door? I don't know what it is, but it could be salvation. God wants you to ask for forgiveness. Or maybe just he wants you to take another step and have faith in him and ask for help from him. Sometimes you have to take the first step, launch out. God's always there for you, but he cannot just hand it to you without asking. It's kind of like with salvation. You have to ask for forgiveness instead of him just go ahead and giving it to you. I want to close with this. Verse 22. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Not me, the Spirit. So tonight, God is knocking on your door. What will you answer? All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for this evening, Lord, and giving the opportunity to preach, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for every soul that's here, Lord. Just I pray that you use this message to talk to their soul, Lord, and their heart, Lord. And Lord, I know that most of us might be lukewarm in here, and I'm lukewarm, Lord. But Lord, just please help me and the rest of these people in here to not be lukewarm, be hot and on fire for you, Lord. And just please be with us as we go for the rest of the service, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
After each of these messages, I feel like we should open the altar, but we're going to wait till the end and give an altar call at the very end. But the last preacher night is our last senior. So we have two seniors that are preaching tonight. And so this is Tyler King. Brother Ray, Miss Julie, do you all mind standing so everybody can see who you all are? Miss Julie is down here videoing. That's the reason why they're not sitting together, just in case. Better clarify that for everyone. The Kings moved away, as many of y'all know, for a little while, and I was discouraged. I didn't want to see Tyler leave because we had such a good relationship, and I'm thankful God's brought the Kings back to our church, and I'm excited how God used Tyler in our youth department. So Tyler, come close us tonight.
All right. First thing I want to say, those chairs are amazingly comfy. All right, if you would like to follow along with me, I'll be reading out of Daniel chapter 6. Starting in verse 4, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into a den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that I be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows. Being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done aforetime. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for letting us gather together, Lord, to worship you tonight, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to do this, Lord, and please help me get through it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I would be pretty scared if I was Daniel in that situation. Yeah. If our government said, all right, you can't do anything except for worship the government, I'd be like, I'm kind of scared right now.
Yeah.
But Daniel wasn't scared. He had courage. Yeah. So tonight I want to talk about the source of Daniel's courage. The definition of courage is that quality of mind which enables men to encounter danger with firmness or surety. What gave Daniel the courage? Faith. Daniel 6, verse 4 said, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was faithful.
Amen.
Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Faith is defined as the firm in adherence or sticking to the truth. But Daniel didn't start having faith and worshiping God whenever things got rough for him.
It's good.
He started all the way back whenever he was a boy, taken from his home in Judea and taken to a place, a different country, where he could basically do anything he wanted. He had pretty much no rules. But Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank, before he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He never imagined as a teenager that him saying, I'm just going to serve God no matter what, he didn't think that that would end up landing him in the den of lions. I promise, his thoughts were not, I'm going to serve God, and one day, this is going to get me thrown in a den of lions. That wasn't his thoughts. He knew it was going to be bad sometimes, but that didn't stop him from purposing in his heart that he was going to serve God no matter what. I hear this message probably 10 times a year. This is a message that people preach to teenagers a lot. A lot. But it isn't just for teenagers. It's for anyone, wherever they are. They should start worshiping God now. They should purpose in their heart today that they are going to serve God no matter what. Tonight, I need to purpose in my heart to serve God. I need to give everything to him, like Daniel did, so that whenever things get rough and whenever things get hard later on down the road, I can still worship God aforetime, like Daniel did. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come together tonight, Lord, and thank you for helping me through this, Lord. Pray over the rest of the service tonight, Lord, that you would bless it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The message has been a challenge, haven't they? And I know sometimes as adults, we kind of get the idea like, well, that was nice, the teenagers preached. But I ask the Lord to speak to my heart. You know, I get a chance to speak to these teenagers, but I'm always encouraged hearing how God's given them a message that they've studied and they've dug for. And you know what? Sometimes it's good for teenagers. Teenagers are just, usually they can see through people and they're pretty genuine most of the time. And I preach to these young men and all these teenagers having a godly testimony tonight. And maybe it's good for our church just to, like Noah said, look in the mirror of the Word of God tonight and maybe stop fooling ourselves and stop thinking everything's okay just because we're adults. Because adults can sin just like teenagers can. And so let's all stand tonight and we'll have a time invitation. And if God spoke to your heart, maybe God spoke to your heart tonight about having faith as David. Maybe God spoke to your heart about keeping your eyes on the Lord, like we heard about in Joseph's life. Maybe it's about being a lukewarm Christian. Maybe it's just about determining that we're going to serve God and be faithful no matter what's going around us. And so, Brother Wiggins, what number do we want to do? 155. Let's turn to number 155. And as the instruments play, if God spoke to your heart, we invite you to come.